Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. Yes, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, one of the great stories of the Bible, and I love these stories. Love to hear them over and over if I can. It's too bad that in the corporate church, they only teach these to children, and they don't go into depth because they don't want their men to be men anymore. So they only teach them to children, and of course, that's all they become, is children's stories. But these are great stories in the Bible, and I love to hear them, and I love to be able to present them to you, and try to bring a little more depth into them, and a little more application for our own lives today. We need to stand up. Is there not a cause? Well, absolutely, there is a cause. And David had a cause in his day, and we have a cause today. So we see David willing to stand up, willing to go in. And David was well trained with the equipment that he had for sheep herding. He was not trained in the armor of war. He was not trained in the defensive armor that they put on him. He was not trained with the sword. He had to go in there with what he knew, what he was trained with. Training is very important. So he took his staff in his hand. After he put off, he told Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. I have not trained in these things. And David put them off of him. And he took his staff in his hand. Remember, he was a shepherd. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which had even in it in a script, and his sling in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came out and drew near unto David. And the man that bore the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. Meaning he still looked like a child. That's what I'm going to get out of it. He still looked like a child. Still had his baby face on, perhaps. And the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. All he had was the staff. Am I a dog? And the Philistine said to David, Come to me now, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And of course, he didn't speak King James English, so he would have said the name, as the Philistine cursed him in the gods of the Philistines, in the names of the gods of the Philistines. Here David cries out, I come to thee in the name of Yahuwah of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Not backing down an inch. This day will Yahuwah deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I guess the Philistines had forgotten about what happened in Egypt. Been a few years since then. And it's funny how people forget so fast how a nation can turn aside from God. We see it demonstrate over and over. We do a disservice to ourselves to forget history. And we do a great disservice by teaching a form of whitewashed history to our children as they teach in the public schools today. Get out the history books. Teach your children true history. There is a lot of good and true history sites on the internet. Use discernment. Consider the source. We'll continue here. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Oh, what a beautiful sight, huh? That must have just been beautiful. All the armies of the Philistine and all the army of Israel is watching this. And he runs up, no fanfare, no tumult, no battle whatsoever. And he just sends off one little missile from his hand, and it sinks straight into that Philistine's forehead, and he falls on his face to the earth. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sheraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And I'm guessing it was a way off, so he didn't recognize who it was. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. And here, you know, we see, have a little more insight into Saul and his condition. He doesn't remember David, who played the harp for him to soothe him. He's not paying a whole lot of attention. And perhaps that has a lot to do with the torment that he's in, that he is not really that in touch with reality and the circumstances and the people and the goings on around him, that he has to ask who David is. David answers and says, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. Chapter 18 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. So Jonathan's taking a garment of royalty from off of himself, this robe, the robe of a prince, the son of a king. And he takes that robe and he gives it to David and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also the sight of Saul's servants. Now David behaved himself wisely. We need to behave ourselves wisely. We need to do everything we do in all of our dealings with our brethren, with the heathen, wisely. Now, with our brethren, when we deal with our brethren in whatever we do, whether it be business, with contracts or anything we do, we need to do wisely, as if everything that we do and everything we say and everything we write will be scrutinized by the eyes of God and, of course, the eyes of our Christian brethren and a Christian court. We were commanded in the New Testament that we were not to go before the heathen to judge amongst the brethren, that we were to go before the brethren and before the court of the church, a court that the church would appoint to judge matters between brethren. He said that it was a shame for brethren to go against brethren in a dispute before the heathen. So we do not do that. And we need to conduct ourselves and our dealings with our brethren especially as if everything we write, everything we say, and everything we do will be scrutinized by godly Christian men who will decide that a dispute if a dispute should arise between brethren. We have a code of conduct. We behave ourselves wisely. And this is what David did when it says that David, he behaved himself wisely. So we have one manner of behavior, that we behave ourselves with our brethren. We behave wisely. And also, we have license from the Messiah himself to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we take a little more license when we're dealing with the ungodly. The rule there is to be harmless as a dove, that we can do whatever is necessary, that we don't break God's law. One thing, we never break God's law. That's unwise, even in dealing with the ungodly. We may break their law, but when we do that, we realize that we can be punished by the law of man for breaking man's law. So we take a risk when we behave wise as serpents, because wise as serpents, meaning we use their craft against them. And that can include lying. I'm going to just tell you like it is. You won't hear this in the corporate church, because you know what? Many people will cite a commandment. Thou shalt not lie. You ever hear that one? I'm talking about wise behavior now. So this is a little side study in instruction in wise behavior. Among brethren, you behave wisely. Everything you do in your dealings among your brethren, you behave such that everything will be judged by Christian men in a Christian court, and everything is seen of God. Okay, but when behaving, when in the world, you can apply that in the world as long as you can until it becomes warfare. And when it becomes warfare, then you can do things as long as they are in compliance with God's law. And one of those laws we see demonstrated over and over was deception, the art of deception in war. There is no commandment that says thou shalt not lie. The commandment says thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. And we see Rahab lied. She lied to the police when they came to her and said, did you see those Hebrew children? She lied and said, yeah, I saw them. They went that away. And while she was hiding them, and then she helped them escape, and she received a blessing. And there are other demonstrations in the scripture where lying is used in warfare, using the devices of the enemy. Because lying, we know who the father of lies is, but we see that we can use the devices of the enemy against the enemy in warfare. So we can use the devices of the enemy against the enemy, as long as we don't break God's law in so doing. So we can lie, but we cannot bear false witness against our neighbor. And the key words there is to bear false witness against our neighbor. To harm our neighbor, we can't lie to send someone to prison. We can't lie to cause someone else to suffer a death penalty or to bring harm to someone. We cannot lie against them. And the word against there is the key word, to bear false witness against your neighbor. That would be in a legal manner, to lie in court to convict someone of a crime that they are not guilty of. And that's about as exact as I can get in that one. Okay, we'll continue in here. David behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And of course, because of the deed he did, he received this commission. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Ooh, not a nice thing to say, really. But people get carried away, and get a little creative in their music, as they do. But this is not something you want to say to Saul. Remember, he's tormented by an evil spirit. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Saul is feeling a little bit insecure, wouldn't you say? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. He kept his eye on him. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hands as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter Merab, I will give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul said, Let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. So he's thinking, send him out and get him killed in war, basically. And David said to Saul, Who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistine may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spoke those words in the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, On this manner spoke David. And Saul said, Thus you shall say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife, or Michal, however it's pronounced. Michal, that's what we have in the pronunciation here. Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that Yahuwah, the Lord, was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. And Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee now. Therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee, and I wait, and what I see, and I will tell thee. And Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father, and said to him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and slew the Philistine, and Yahuwah, the Lord, wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and did rejoice, wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as at times past. And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew with them a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. And he sat in his house with his javelin in his right hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. So Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. And we're running out of time. It looks like we're going to have to pick up here next time on Cross the Border. Remember, as always, in everything you say and in everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.